Adam Morrison here. When it comes to top-tier contracting, my go-to choice is McGilvery Environmental. They're not just any contractor. They're the best in Spokane and North Idaho. With years of experience, they handle it all. New construction, meticulous repairs, and asphalt overlays. From start to finish, they ensure your project is completed with the highest quality end results. And here's the scoop for this year. McGilvery Environmental has expanded its services to include asphalt paving. That means top-notch commercial parking lots, residential driveways, and road construction. So, ready to kickstart your project? Reach out to Kip at McGilvery Environmental by calling 208-556-6384 for your free estimate. Don't forget to mention my name, Adam from the Perimeter, and experience the difference that McGilvery Environmental brings to the table. Again, that's 208-556-6384, McGilvery Environmental. My number one choice for all my contracting needs. The Perimeter would like to thank our sponsor, HDG Architecture. HDG is a Spokane-based architectural firm whose aesthetic can be described as an understatement of badassery, an idea that sets the standard for their approach to every client and every project decision. The world is full of poorly designed spaces, and HDG wants to change that. Check out some of their award-winning work at studiohdg.com. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 17 of The Perimeter, presented by McGilvery Environmental. Got Brennan, the producer, with me. Going to recap Kentucky. What a great win for us. Getting down to kind of the back half or final third of the WCC season, and then talk about what that means for us bracketology-wise, where I think we will be. In the net and all that, and where we stand on the NCAA tournament. It's funny, I've been in town, obviously, coming back from Rupp, and, you know, people are asking, are you guys in now? And I'm like, maybe it's one win. I mean, it helps, but, Kentucky's kind of faltering. Not that they're not super talented and not can't put it together, but it doesn't help that they've, you know, lost two games before that.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy stat that they've never lost three home games since like 1966.
Holy cow.
In a row.
That's
and we were one of those, so that's kind of a cool little just nugget to have.
Yeah.
Really cool to have the experience of going to Rupp. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I've never been to Kentucky and never been to Rupp Arena. It was really nice. It's really huge. It's like 20,000, holds 20,000, and they made it smaller. In recent past, I think cut it down by like 2,000 seats and built like bars and stuff or suites or whatever, which makes sense. It was sold out. Lexington's kind of a different town. It's smaller than Louisville, obviously, but it's not, it's got like a Spokane feel. The airport's about the same size, two wings, one restaurant.
Yeah.
Same thing. You know what I mean? Like one Starbucks, two Starbucks or whatever on each wing. And then there's just like a row of nice restaurants and a decent downtown. I think their downtown's a little bit nicer, but it had that same feel. But like, same thing, like they love hoops and that's all they really care about.
Yeah.
So that leading up to the game, it was kind of cool to, you know, go out and go have dinner and then people recognize you, you know, if I'm wearing like a Gonzaga hat and, oh, you going to the game tomorrow and that type of stuff. And they're like, oh, we love Big Blue, and you know, then you get their take on Calipari, whether good or bad. Like some people hate him, some people think he's great, and it's just curious to kind of go through all that stuff and experience it. I mean, it's, you know, the other similarity is there's no pro team, right?
Yeah,
so
totally.
It has that feel. So there's no pro team and no NFL team. Like the Bengals are kind of it, or the Titans, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, it's the same thing where like, oh, you kind of have to like the Seahawks if you live over here. You don't really have to, but that's the closest thing we got.
Totally. Yeah.
So yeah, leading up to the game was interesting. The whole pageantry thing they do there is really cool. Cause they have all the jerseys hanging up and you're like, whoa, I forgot that guy played there. And then all the coaches and then their pregame, video is pretty cool because it goes from like the 60s on and you're like Adolph Rupp and then you know, Tubby Smith, Patino, and then now Cal, but they've all won one championship, which is kind of weird. I think Rupp won multiple, but all the other guys have won one.
Just one.
Oh, just so one.
They're looking for that second one.
Yeah, and it's weird to think about, but like Tubby Smith won one. I think Patino only won one, and he should have won two, but the Christian Laettner turnaround, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then obviously Cal's only won the one with the Anthony Davis crew, and he's had talented crews after that. So... yeah, it was interesting to go through the pageantry. I mean, and this is not gonna, this is not trying to sound like weird, but there's like literally like 50 cheerleaders. Somebody told me that before the game. I'm like, it's gonna be weird seeing how many cheerleaders, male and female. But you're like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, holy crap. It's kind of BYU kind of does that too, where there's like dancing ones and then there's traditional ones. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just weird. Like, I don't know. It's just different.
It seems like it's just a lot. It seems bigger than this really big. Like,
exactly. Like the whole, and then, you know, like the, like I said, the pregame stuff is pretty cool and the videos and, you know, all the highlights. But I thought coming in, the matchup was favorable, and I'm not just saying that because we won, but it was a team that gets up and down. They score 89 points a game. We were at 85. Mm-hmm. So I said it. I'm like, I like this matchup better than UConn or Purdue just because there's not like a ridiculous tall big guy inside that you've never seen or a super skilled one. They had, you know, they had 7-footers. They had three of them. But it wasn't like a Klingon and or Zach Edey, you know, where you're like, holy crap, you know, this is crazy. So I thought if we could play fast but under control and not turn the ball over, we would have a chance. Because my keys to the game were control the glass. It was weird. Kentucky was only plus one on the glass, which is a really crazy number. I was like, and my other one was establish the inside presence, you know, get Graham going, Braden, you know, and we'll talk about that. But I was, that's I'm like always like, Graham's got to have a good game, and then Braden off the bench because he's got to have a good game. It just makes us a bunch better when we're scoring inside. And then I had guard the three line. They shoot it at, it was 43% as a team was leading the country. So to start the game, we were fantastic on the glass. Ben Gregg was amazing early in that game of just flying around, grabbing balls, you know, tipping stuff, you know, doing all the stuff he likes to do. Knocks down a three early, and then he gets that, you know, miss, but then he gets it back and gets the dunk. Or they get the rebound, and he gets the pass, gets the dunk. He had a couple where he, you know, tipped it away from guys where they should have cleared it. And it, what it did is it took the crowd out of the game early because it was, you know, hyped in there, and, which it normally is, but they know Gonzaga, and we beat them last year. And I didn't know it was a six-game series, which is crazy.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I thought it was just home and home, but they're coming here, I think, battling Seattle next year. Then I think we're doing, like, I think it's Nashville with them. And then I think we're going, they're going Kennel Rep.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's
pretty,
so cool.
It's pretty cool.
I didn't know that.
So I thought his energy really slowed down any chance they would have to kind of get, you know, the crowd into it and get going. Defensively, I loved our plan because they're a dribble drive space you team, and you can't overhelp, so you have to play, you know, you can't like sit in gaps. You have to like stunt and get back, and then you have to tell your guys like, look, you have to play one-on-one defense and contest and make them take tough twos. You can't overhelp because then they got 7-footers in the dunker spots, and then obviously 43%, they got great shooters on the perimeter, and our guys were, you know, closing out short. You know, and then sliding their feet and making them take tough contested twos. They missed some that they, I think, normally would make, but that's, you know, obviously a break that we got. So we started the game fantastically. Graham was great inside, you know, got his stuff going as well. I like that he didn't force anything, too. Like, there was times when he had to up fake a few times, and sometimes he shoots, you know, like a 12-foot fadeaway that might be a little bit more difficult, and he was kicking it out or stepping through a double team. Or it's called a split, you know, splitting the double team with a pivot. So I thought that was fantastic. Nolan was great early in the game in that first half, was knocking down shots and, you know, looked like he had something to prove because he committed there. Originally, never visited campus, which is just interesting to think about. But he committed to Kentucky. So I think it was kind of just a weird, not a prove it game, but it's just something to have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like, all right, you know, and he was going against that Reed Shepherd kid, and I'll talk about him in a bit. But all in all, in that first half was just our energy was fantastic. You know, we weren't shooting it lights out, but we were making, you know, like winning plays. I know that sounds cliche, but there's been times this year when we haven't done that. You know, so we go into the first period after the first half up by 10. And, you know, like I said, I thought it was a good matchup for us schematically. And then personnel wise, I thought, you know, the only thing that I was really afraid of was maybe the shot blocking on the backside with their guys, because they had, you know, that big kid off the bench, the Visevich, I can't say his name. They call him Big Z. And then they had the other two 7-footers. Like, mm-hmm. They literally had like 3 7-foot legit bigs, you know. It's like an NBA. It literally is like an NBA, built like an NBA team. And you just play whoever's playing good, pick and dive guys. But it was, besides that, I thought we matched up well with their guards. Obviously, they were good, but I thought, you know, our guards, they weren't particularly like physical and over the top that could maybe give trouble to Hickman and Nembhard from a size standpoint. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that first half was great, man. I was really impressed. Obviously excited that the, you know, we were rolling. We shot it decently. We were 18 of 39. 3 of 14 from three, obviously that's not great. But it was nice to not shoot it well from three and not have to discuss it or like be the end all thing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that was, I was thinking the same thing when I was watching. I was like, cause I watched the stats during the game and I was just like, it's weird that we're up by 10 and we've shot so poorly from the 3-point line, but that was because they getting rebounds. It just felt like they were getting the ball a lot more and going on runs, which was great.
Yeah. We were getting out in transition too. And then, you know, Braden had that steal dunk. Like, we got some weird plays. Like I said, Ben was getting hands on balls and you know what I mean? Where you just get extra possessions. And it was those type that, you know, you could hear the crowd groan, and they're a really educated fan base. And I mean that, you know, like not that we aren't, but like, like every time there's like a tip ball that they could have got, they like groan as a group. You know what I mean? Because they know the game, they love the game, and it was kind of cool to be in an atmosphere like that. We're similar in the kennel, but it was 20,000 people. Like, why isn't that guy getting through a screen? You know what I mean? Normally, it's not that intense. So yeah, coming out of half, it was one of those deals.
The Perimeter will be right back after a word from our sponsor.
You're feeding it.
I will, I promise.
Thanks to our Premier Rewards Visa credit card from ICCU, we earned enough cash back to stock up on puppy supplies.
But we don't have a puppy.
They're very convincing children.
Not that intense. So yeah, coming out of half, it was one of those deals where like, all right, you know, we've been in this situation before. We've yet to win a road game. We have to, you know, come out with great energy, but, you know, we've had teams sneak up on us and come out kind of flat. And, you know, Kentucky did what Kentucky does, is made a, you know, early run in that second half. And I thought our guys did a really good job of managing the crowd. You knew they were going to make a run. It was one of those teams that shoots it so well and so talented. You know, at some point, team's going to go 6-0, 8-0, and you have to be able to manage it and respond the correct way. And I think schematically for them, they started to go with just a high ball screen with that Reed Shepherd kid, who was one of the better guards I've seen all year live. The kid was so good.
Yeah.
He ended up 8 of 14, 0 of 3 from downtown, 5 of 5 from the free throw line, 5 rebounds, 21 points, and 28 minutes, true freshman. I guess dad played there. Mom played volleyball. His dad was the MOP in one of the Final Four runs, I think, when they won a national championship in like 96 or one of those teams. Apparently scored 3,700 points in this kid, Reed, in high school. So, holy shit. Yeah, it's like, holy cow. Exactly. You're like, whoa. And you could see why. Like, it's like six, I think he was like 6'3", 6'4", maybe.
Yeah.
But just like lightning quick, under control. What I was most impressed was in the first half, he wasn't really rolling. But every time he touched it, and if there was nothing, you know, his advantage, he would ping it to somebody else. And like, so when you're just watching from like a non-bias, you're like, well, the ball's like every, he's on the floor, the ball's going where it needs to go almost every single time. It's never sticky.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And that's, I'm always impressed with that. And that's something that I think sometimes, you know, not the average fan notices or understands. Like, if you're looking at totality as a point guard, is the ball getting, you know, to the right places every single time? And sometimes that means that you might not shoot a lot tonight. You might not score it, but you're going to win. You know what I mean? It's like throwing checkdowns and as a quarterback. Like, sometimes you can't throw off that 15-yard crossing route. Just take the 8 yards and then we win. And
yeah.
You throw for 220 instead of 320. And you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's that similar mindset. So I was really impressed with that. But in the second half, they just started going high ball screen with him. And he got downhill, I mean, multiple times. He had that steal on that side OB against Nembhard. Just kind of took it from him with an and one. And then he had just layup package, and he was getting by our big on the show or on the plug or on the switch, like whatever coverage we were doing. Super impressed with him. I saw Neil Olshea. He used to be the GM at the Blazers. I think he's working for the Sixers now. I think that's what I saw, but just ran into him on the flight back and was like, how'd you like that little point guard? He's like, yeah, he's pretty good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that kid seems like a lottery pick. Like, I mean, super talented. So my point was, he led the charge. He got the crowd back into it. But I thought Nembhard and Hickman played one of their best games from a floor standpoint, you know, as a point guard situation they have all year. I said this on the radio, and, you know, I'm going to say it obviously on this thing. Nembhard plays 40 minutes, okay? He goes 1-for-7, 0-for-3 from downtown, makes all his free throws, has 6 points. He has 9 assists, 4 turnovers. Some of the turnovers, not his fault. I thought it was just one of his best games he's played. Right? Because in that situation, they go up 6, right? In that, where Shepard's going crazy. You know, we don't get anything going offensively. Anton, who was great, was quiet for about 28 minutes of that game and then really took over down the stretch, which I'll talk about in a second.
Yeah.
But we ran the same action. If people are watching, sometimes I, maybe they notice it, but obviously I do. We ran the same action like 12 times in a row. Did you notice that? So we ran a 1-4 set, and it was called an Iverson cut with Nolan going over the top, going to his left, court left, facing our basket, and then a high ball screen with Nembhard and EK with a hard roll, and then Anton popping to the top of the key. Remember, we ran it literally 12 times in a row.
Yeah.
And my point is, I thought Nembhard made the right decision almost every single time of where the ball was needed to go. He had that beautiful pass to Graham, the lob over the top that got us back, and one got us back to 3, settled the crowd down, settled us down. He had a couple where he like looked the defense off and then hit the roll again. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Then he'd wait for for Graham to sit and seal, and he did that little swivel pass, which is harder than people understand. It's a skill set. So I thought he was tremendous from a floor game standpoint. Obviously, he'd want to shoot it better, but I said it on the radio. I'm like, hey, man, that's a good, you know, barometer for a point guard. Like, how well did you control the action? Did you slow down The pace when it needed to? Did you pick it up when you needed to? Did you understand the situation to try to go hero ball and take a shitty shot in that spot? Throw it to Graham, right? Mm-hmm. It's one of those where you just throw it to the big guy that's at 8 feet with a seal in the middle, and he did that. So I was really impressed with him, you know, understanding that and, you know, not freaking out that, you know, this freshman on the other end was kind of getting a, not best of him, best of everybody, but mm-hmm. like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a tough matchup for anybody because they're running just high ball screen and letting him go.
Yeah.
But my point overall is, as well, is I was super impressed with how we managed that run. They went bonkers in there, and then we get down six, and it, you know, it was natural. And I think a lot of fans maybe were like, dang it, played well again, and we're going to win one on the road, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of happened to us all season. That's just a fair take. It's not even a take. It's the facts.
Yeah.
Like, outplayed Washington for most of the game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Purdue had a chance 0 for 16 from three at the very start of the season. UConn kicked our ass. San Diego State, remember we came all the way back, got within like four with the press, and
yeah,
and then fuck, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's it crept into my mind. I was like, man, this is gonna, especially this one, because these guys played hard. Everybody's kind of shitting on them, right? And you know, saying what if and all this stuff. So I'm like, man, that this one will suck if they can't, just because they played good and they played hard and played as a team. And but we came back, you know, with those you know, that action. And I thought Anton was good in passing him that too, because he always popped. So Nembhard would either hit, boom, or we had a reversal to Nolan, and then he can come off a pick and roll action. So like, we literally, he was calling it four something, but I ran it. It's an Iverson cut, something similar. Everybody runs it.
Yeah.
But literally, I was like looking over at Kentucky's bench. I'm like, are they going to fucking do anything different, like defensively? Because they kept, it was weird. They didn't like trap, or they didn't do anything. They just let him roll and then seal Barry and played 1-on-1. But we literally ran the same thing 12 times in a row, like the last 10 minutes of the game. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it, what I saw was this, we were, and this must be what it is getting so close to the hoop
yeah.
to get lay-ins, get dunks, yeah. and get, like, this close shots.
Yeah.
And so, and I was just like, when we were going back and forth, I was just like, can we keep this up? And it felt like this was like, they were figuring it out, I guess, maybe. I don't know. Like, or they were just exposing Kentucky because they weren't switching. I don't, like.
Yeah, I think it's just, it was a great, you know, coaching scheme from few of just sticking to what works.
Yeah.
You know, the Thiero kid for them was super athletic. He was at 15 points, but he was, you know, catching lobs and all that stuff and getting the crowd into it. But he had a difficult time guarding ball screen action and then getting sealed deep.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a vertical player, but he's not a tall player. So we kind of went after that, but when Graham got his fifth, I think it was what, 2.5? No, it was probably like 3.5 minutes left, 4 minutes left, if my memory serves. Anyway, he gets his fifth and you're like, man, all right, let's see what Braden Huff can do.
Mm.
And during that same, you know, when he gets subbed in, we ran the same actions, and Braden scored on a layup. He scored on a goaltend, and he got fouled on one of them, made both his free throws. So mm-hmm. my point is, Braden didn't play a ton. He played 15 minutes, but he wasn't going to play in that stretch if Graham didn't get his fifth.
Right.
Because Graham played this one of his best games of the year. He goes 10 for 17, 23 points, 5 rebounds, makes all of his free throws, no turnovers, 1 assist, you know, 1 block shot. Like, just played good. Played solid, only 24 minutes. But like I said, he was, like, really concise when he caught it in there. He didn't try to force against longer opponents. He was using fakes and all the step-throughs that you have to, because Graham's not he's a vertical player, but he's not over the top. Right, vertically.
Mm-hmm.
You know
right.
what I mean? He's serviceable, and that's not a knock. But like for example, I probably had a 35-inch vertical, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It's enough for Division I basketball.
Right,
it's
yeah.
not, you know, he's probably something similar. You know what I mean? Where, like, he's not going to, you know, dunk over the top of people, but he can catch and rip and dunk. You know what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. like, he's not – going against a 7-footer, you got to start using your fakes and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So my – when Braden comes in, you kind of go, okay, this is a big moment for this kid. He's been fantastic all year. I think he should be playing more, you know, whatever. But obviously, Fuey sees things in practice, and it's not like he's burying him, but I think his stretches should be longer. I think he should be in the 18 to 22 minutes, not 15 to 18. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's a minor difference.
Yeah.
But he scores those three straight possessions, basically, gives us 6 points, takes the wind out of their sails, because you could feel when Graham got his fifth, you know what I mean? They're super excited. Big moment in the game. I thought it was a great thing for him to have that, and he kind of sealed the game for us in that situation. He scored 6 straight points and really kind of led the charge for us to kind of take that home. And then you know Anton down the stretch was unbelievable. I mean, he had that rip go with a little floater in the lane when the game was tied, and then he has that offensive man rebound put back to put us up and kind of seal the game. So he was great. Played 37 minutes, 6 of 13, makes a huge three, goes 4 for 5, 7 rebounds, 3 offensive, 5 assists, only 1 turnover, 2 steals, 2 block shots, plus 4 on the plus minus. One of his better games just overall. I know he had those bonkers one against UCLA and Santa Clara, but this one was like making plays on the road, down the stretch against a really good opponent. And then it's cool, like, he's a senior, obviously, like, he's got that always, hey, I had like one of my better games at Rupp.
Yeah.
And it's a story, you know, win for this program. There's not very many left of those things to have for us, right? We've won everywhere besides, you know, the next two are like Cameron somehow, if we can play there, just to play there. I mean, obviously you want to win, but just play a game there, and then Fog Allen at Kansas. But like, if you go down the line, you're like, kind of been to all of them, you know what I mean? Or the pretty cool ones. And so, yeah, man, I was just super impressed overall. I thought every guy that checked in the game had like a moment and contributed to it. Graham was fantastic. Anton Watson, Ben Gregg, Nemhard, I talked about, 1 for 7, but one of his best floor games, controlled the pace, was terrific as a point guard. Nolan was great in the first half. That gives us 17. He really was great in the first half. Dusty had 4 rebounds, right? Okay, like, played his tail off, only took 1 field goal, but had 4 rebounds. We just talked about Braden. I thought Luca, he played 2.5 minutes, but he comes into a first half of a big game, and all I'm always looking like defensively how he was completely fine. You know what I mean? So really impressed, man. It was really cool for this club to get that type of win. You know, and like I said earlier, we shoot 4 for 18. We don't shoot it really good, and I don't have to sit here and talk about it. It's like, because we made other plays, right? Mm-hmm. And we controlled the glass. We killed them on the glass, plus 12, 18 offensive rebounds. So, you know, we get 15 second chance points. We get 50 points in the paint, which is crazy. You know, so we really just kind of won the hustle game situation. The free throw shooting was good. 21 to 24 is obviously fantastic. They go 23-28, so both teams pretty much a wash. And I thought the whistle was actually really fair. They missed that one out of bounds where the kid stepped out.
Yeah.
And then I thought the chop down on Nolan where they called a jump was really weird late in the game. That was a foul. Like,
it was like his arm was clearly across his, like,
hammered him.
Yeah,
it was like jump, you know. But I was like, well, we're gonna get homeward on the road. But Ben Gregg had the, you know, play of the defensive play at the end of the game to block that lob, steal that lob, which I love Cal, and I think he's actually good for college basketball. I think he actually tries to like help dudes out, you know what I mean? But like, that's just the weirdest play call, is to call like a backdoor lob in that situation, because it just leaves you with one action, and then if it doesn't work, then you're fucked. Like, so it was just a weird call. Like, thank you for calling that. It just, because they're hard to set up, and then if it doesn't, like, you can't have one action at this level, you know what I'm saying? You got to have multiple options. If I was him, I would have just gave it to that Reed kid and just fucking space the floor. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's easy to say, but he's right. rolling them. Like, just space the floor, high ball screen, and then make us, you know, have to read and react to what he does. Yeah, overall, great win. This will help us in the, you know, at large thing, but I don't think it puts us, like, guaranteed in the NCAA tournament.
No.
It just doesn't.
No.
We've moved up a little bit on the net. Obviously, it gives us a quad one win. The number was, what was the number? I think we were four and six. We're quad one and quad two wins.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. So it's when people always used to talk about quad one, they usually list quad one and quad twos.
What oh, you together. Are.
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Well, they talk about them both because, you know, there's a lot of good quad two teams, right? Mm-hmm. And the hundreds and 75s, you know what I mean? That are,
yeah.
you know, that are close and are, you know, good teams. So obviously it helps. But again, I don't think it just, you know, I don't think it puts us like in the tournament. So I think if we can get a win at St. Mary's, absolutely mm-hmm. would help. San Francisco is going to help. And I think it helps that we're not playing them at USF. We've kind of struggled there.
Yeah.
So playing in Chase will help. Mm-hmm. Chase Center, where the Warriors play. And there'll be a lot of our fans. Just how it works.
Yeah. That does take the game down from like a, because it's a neutral site. Technically correct.
No, it'll count as a home game.
Oh, it does sound kind of okay.
Yeah. All right. That's how they do it. So, okay. Like, even though we played at, you know, when we played Pepperdine, it still counts as a home game.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, even though it's neutral. Right. I know what you're saying, yeah. but yeah, like on paper, it says it's a home game.
Okay.
That's why a lot of times people would ask Fuey why in the past, like, how come you're not playing Eastern or Washington State there? If it counts as a home game, I want to be at home then. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like that stuff matters mm-hmm. and people don't realize like sometimes that those little variations do matter.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, it definitely helps. Like I said, if we get a win at St. Mary's and a win at USF, it gives us good fodder. And then, all right, I'm going to go like scenario, worst case, best case. And I know we still have Pacific LMU coming up. LMU will be difficult down there, in my opinion. Pacific stinks,
mm-hmm.
like 350 in the net, like yeah. whatever. Yeah. I know we only beat them by 9. We usually do better at home against them, but we'll be fine. Our guys will take care of business. But let's say we beat San Francisco, St. Mary's. We win out and we finish second, right,
mm-hmm.
by a game. And St. Mary's wins out but loses to us, right? So we finish second. I think if we have those two wins and then we get to the championship game and let's just say, God forbid, we lose to St. Mary's and they beat us close and we lose by really close.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the worst case scenario for us, or the best case by not winning it that we get in.
Right.
If we slip up other than that before then, we're going to have to win the tournament no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that 100% true for, I think it gives us a great shot, but obviously, you know, we'd have to delve into the numbers when it gets closer, but I think that's the best worst case scenario we got left. Get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Yeah, we have to win out and then get to the championship game and then maybe lose, like, but look good losing, if that makes sense, but like lose closely.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I've talked about this in the past. We've had other groups in the situation just go win bleeping two games in Las Vegas and then you don't have to worry about it.
Exactly.
And I think this team is really starting to come together. And it's not just the Kentucky win. Like, you know, they kicked the shit out of Portland. Like, you could see, like, you know, Ben Gregg's been in the starting lineup for 11 games now, and I think it's kind of the right move, you know, and playing hard and all those things and kind of – gelling together at the right time. And sometimes it takes that where, you know, you have some doubt and there's some anxiety. And then also, you know, these guys probably hear the noise, right? And let's just be fair and honest. It's probably not fun to listen to, but some of the criticism is they're smart kids. It's natural to be like, well, are we going to go to the tournament this year? You know what I mean? So, I really think this team is trending in the right direction. St. Mary's going to be a hell of a challenge down there. They're hard to beat. But if you think back to that game, we had so many opportunities to win, and we didn't play great. Mm-hmm. And they beat us by two, right? Okay, right. So that's where you keep going. Like, you know, if we just put a complete game against these suckers, we should win. We're more talented. We're better. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. if you just play the way we know we can, I think we'll be fine. So all in all, Kentucky was great. Atmosphere is cool. Highly recommend if you're just a fan of college basketball, you can make it to a game there. Go. It's cool. The pageantry is cool. The people are super nice. I was wearing my Gonzaga hat all around. Nobody gives you shit. Walking to the game, there's tons of fans waiting outside. Sometimes you get people that are, you know, just kind of, you know, rude or whatever. There's, oh, hey, guys, good luck today. You know, like Southern charm. Like,
yeah,
it's
that's
real.
Awesome. That's nice.
Super nice people. Mm-hmm. I'll be curious to see, like, they've never lost four home games in a row, and they got Ole Miss coming up.
Ooh,
yeah. So, yeah, it was weird. After the game, they do so.
The Perimeter will be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Hey, it's Olive. I just got my first ICCU debit card. Now I just need some money in my account. If only there was someone who could transfer in some allowance.
Wow.
It was weird. After the game, they do. So Huddy and I obviously have our post-game show, which sucks, by the way. It doesn't suck, but it can be long. 30 minutes would be better, but anyway, pays bills. They have their radio show, and it goes over the loudspeaker, right? Like their post-game.
Uh-huh.
Calipari comes out and fucking sits there and does a radio show for like 20 minutes after the game. And there's probably, I'm not even joking, 200 people sitting in the stands and just sitting there listening to him. So, like, we're doing our thing, and there's still, like, a ton of Kentucky fans behind us, and they just lost. And he has to come out and, like, do a radio show live, and it's going on. And, like, people have basketballs for him to sign and stuff. It was a weird.
That's crazy.
It's weird. It's just, it was awkward because you're like, you know, are they going to, like, yell at us, or you know what I mean? I don't know. It's just, it was awkward. And then also, like, you know, I know he gets paid a ton, so I get that, but like, it would be weird after every time you have a failure at a job, you have to go sit there and like wear it every time. You know what I mean? Like, there's one thing going to the press box, but then going on like a radio show and like people watching you, and you have to be like, well, our guys weren't very good tonight, but I suck too. You know, you like just have to like wear it. This is awkward, man. Like,
that would be. I could never imagine like few doing that.
Hell no. But that's why it's the Big Blue is it's a different world, man.
Totally.
Like it's one of the top. It's got to be the top five jobs easily for college basketball.
Mm.
You know, you go Duke, them. Who else? I think Arizona's one of those now.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're in the like that echelon, but not as, you know, obviously big as of school and resources as far as backside money. Who else?
I mean, it used to be UCLA, but like
UCLA, but I don't think anymore. Like, you know, I know it's football, but like their head coach just left to go take a coordinator job.
Yeah.
Like, it tells you collectives and NIL ain't there. You know what I mean? Like, that tells you right there, like, that's scary. Yeah. If you're head coach leaves to go be a coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's takes a pay cut. It's like, I'm out, man. Screw this.
Maybe Michigan State.
That's a good one. Michigan State. Yeah, you're right. Like, for the Midwest, Ohio State used to be kind of there, but I like Kentucky is like one of the all timers, man.
Yeah.
So it was really cool. Again, that the university gets that win, has that notch. There's not very many left. Like special things this program can do. Obviously win a national championship, but I'm talking about like game, you know, home games in a row, like all these weird streaks, or if you've won here or there, you've played there, like there's not many left.
Mm.
So I was really proud of the guys, really cool. And like I said, it was I didn't know it was a 6-game series, so it's pretty sweet. So I think I'm not completely sure, but I think next year that's what the battle in Seattle will be.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're playing them in Seattle. I don't know if it'll be labeled as that, you know, or whatever it's called now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like what we
did with UConn.
UConn, yeah.
But then I think we go Tennessee or something like that, close, Nashville or something. or something like that. And then it goes home and home. So that'd be cool.
Yeah, you know, that would be cool. A few years
to have Kentucky come to our place. And then I think we go back there one more time. Mm-hmm. It was cool that they did a six-game series. And because Cal and Fewey are buddies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool that they, you know, had the guts to do that. Most programs don't. Oh, we'll play a neutral. And mm-hmm. it's just like, oh, man, this is stupid. It's dumb. Neutrals are dumb. I get them.
Yeah.
They make more money. But sometimes it just, it's like, okay. And, it, you know, like, even if you have, like, a really big brand, it's, normally it's only, like, 3/4 full, if that, mm-hmm. half full. Like, the only time it's been, like, full is when we played Duke in Vegas
mm-hmm.
that 1 year.
Yeah.
Or 2 years ago when Chet's deal. Chet and Ben Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
But other than that, it's just like,
yeah, you know, this Seattle one like used to be cool just because like we were growing so much, but like I get it that they do it now, but it does like you're losing a home game.
Yeah. Exactly. So I just wish that we would just do the home and home, but I get it. There's dollars. You make way more money doing the neutrals and you split up the revenue, blah, blah, blah. But yeah.
I was going to ask, like as a player, when you were playing for Gonzaga, like after a win like this, mm-hmm. like, what is the vibe around like with the team? Like did you just feel like we did it? We're like, this is like a great momentum boost.
Yeah. I mean, we had one where we played my sophomore year. We played Oklahoma State, who I think was 3 in the country.
Mm.
And we played them at, in Oklahoma City. And they had like Oklahoma and Oklahoma State played back to back. And we were the second game, and that's when they had the Graham brothers, and I think John Lucas was on that team too, I think. But they were number 3 in the country, really good. We were in the mid-20s or unranked, but we were starting to have a good, you know, this is my sophomore year, so Rav is new. I'm new to the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
It's Roni's year, senior year, and, you know, kind of overlooked. We needed a big win, and we just kind of, similar thing, like outplayed them, out hustled them. They had more talent, and we didn't win by like 4 or 6 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was a great vibe afterwards. And then it gives you the confidence, like, hey, you know, we can beat anybody now. You know what I mean? So I think that would be the vibe. And then just to get over the hump with the road thing for this team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I understand, you know, they beat, you know, the other team, but like a true, you know, great road game, and then not have the, you know, to come back home and everybody's, well, they're shitty, you know, like you feel bad, man. After a while, it's just like, okay, like, you know, they just haven't executed down the stretch with some of these bigger teams. Like, it's not like we're losing to just absolute shitters here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. and there's some weird things that happen in a game. I think, like, look at Santa Clara. I mean, it's not the crap on Nembhard, but if he makes 2 free throws, we don't probably lose, right? You know what I mean? Like, and then we're not even talking about that. And then UW game, like, if we don't go on that weird stretch where we don't score for however long, we win that game. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, anyway.
Yeah.
So this is it's definitely a confidence booster for the guys, and they'll feel good about themselves, and they should.
Mm-hmm.
Great win. Definitely gives us a better chance for a at-large, but I still think we got to handle a lot more business. But it's so weird. If you look at what's our net? 24.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're like, I think I read somewhere, or Huddy said it, like nobody has not made the tournament if you're like in the top 30 in the net. So it's just like, where do we really stand? Because, you know, mm-hmm. Lenardi and CBS and Fox have us the next 4 out, but then we're like, oh, we're 24th in the net. It's weird. So it's not like we're 68, you know, and begging to get in. It's just, I don't know. So it's literally going to be, let's just keep stacking wins and get to Vegas. And then we have a real, you know, obviously we want to win those, but we have a real understanding where we stand nationally.
Yeah. I mean, I think at the end, I mean, a lot of things have to fall in place for us to if that happens to be an at-large bid. But when you look at even the losses that we've had, this is why Gonzaga plays this type of schedule is because even the losses are against quad one teams they're good losses.
Yeah.
It's not like we're losing we're not playing cupcakes and
losing to them.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I agree. So It'll be curious.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, this definitely helps, but we still got, a lot of games. Not a lot of games, but a few games left. And only two home games, one on Saturday coming up against Pacific, and then the last one would be Santa Clara. And that's obviously a revenge game. And then that trip, the USF and St. Mary's is going to be huge.
Yeah.
So looking forward to that, and we'll talk about that when it gets closer on another episode. Appreciate everybody listening. Thank you to our sponsors, McGilvery Environmental, Idaho Central Credit Union, and HDG Architecture. See you next week.